The Dome on iRadio. Right, a very good morning to you and welcome to the second half of the Dawn program here on iRadio, live broadcast from the capital, Juba. My name is Emmanuel Joseph Akilin. Today is Wednesday, the 2nd of July, 2025, coming to 16 minutes now after the hour of 7. Now, in the second half of the Dawn, we're going to talk about validation as part of the girls' education cash transfer process. Now, since 2014, the girls' education South Sudan cash transfers have actually helped to address the economic and social barriers that stop girls attending school and also learning, such as poverty and early enforced marriage. Cash transfers are meant for eligible learners. Now, to date, over 1 million individual girls have received a cash transfer. Now, last year, boys with disabilities in eligible classes were also paid cash transfers. So to shed more light on this and more, I'm joined live in the studio by David Musisi, Deputy Team Leader, Essential Services, British Embassy here in the capital, Juba. Daniel Gisaka, Team Leader of Girls Education South Sudan, and Honorable Kachol Mabil Piok, who is the Under Secretary, National Ministry of General Education and Instruction. It's good to have all of you in the studio this morning. Welcome to iRadio.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
now, Daniel, let me start with you. Explain to us what the validation exercise entails and why it is important, really, before the cash transfers are actually made.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel, for having us. The validation, normally every year, we, just to take you back, as you have said, that the girl education in South Sudan has been there for over a decade, supporting girls and schools generally to be able to offer quality education. At the beginning of the year, when the schools open, we do go to schools and see those who have come, and we do what we call onboarding or re-enrollment, which we spend the first term to do that onboarding. That means we basically go to schools and see the learners who have come and validate the, and onboard them. Those who have been there, if they have dropped, then we say this has dropped. If they have progressed, this has progressed, and that. The girl education in South Sudan, especially when it comes to cash transfer program, there are two main conditions. One is that a learner must be enrolled in school. Mm-hmm. And two, that learner must be attending school regularly. So when we go to school now and we talk about validation, we go back to school and see, did we capture all the details correctly? Do we have the right learner, the right class, the age? And is this learner attending school regularly? So what we are doing now in terms of validation is we are going back to be able to see that those learner details we have in the system, that in South Sudan School Attendance Monitoring System, that sums, that those details are right, and indeed these learners exist in school and are regularly attending. That's what we talk about validation.
Yes, and Under Secretary, let me come to you. Let's talk about the steps that are taken actually to ensure that only eligible learners are really included in the final list of this process.
Yeah, I think that's, thank you, Emmanuel, for having us here this morning. The step is basically, one, it's important to check the attendance if the learner is actually attending classes, because it's important that eligible learners are in the classrooms. That is very important. And it's also important to check if the learner comes from the schools that are eligible for this program, mm-hmm. and as well as checking whether the learner fall within the category of the learners that are eligible under this program as well, such mm-hmm. as girls and boys and girls with disabilities. Mm-hmm. I think that is very important. Those are very important steps mm-hmm. To ensure that the learners meet the criteria.
And what confirmed that the learner is actually validated, Daniel?
So when we go to school and come and I check that the learner meets those requirements, mm-hmm. is enrolled in the right class, mm-hmm. what the Honorable and Secretary was saying, that there are classes which we pay, which actually start from primary 7 mm. to senior 4, paying the girls, learners in accelerated learning program in level 4, mm. and then we also and of course boys with disability in those classes. So when we get all those that they are in the right class, they are regularly attending, we give them a form, which we talk about cash transfer enrollment form, to show that this learner now has been validated. That form, it's normally has, it's done in 4 copies, where the learner then gets the original copy, the white copy, that is validated. The school retains 1 copy, just for the records of the school. Then we normally have our partners who work with the schools at the state. We call them state anchors. We'll have one copy, and then there's a copy which remains at the county education office. That's how it's done. So if you want to see all those levels, we'll be having the copies, but the learner will have the copy. That shows now that the learner has been validated, because that's very important, because that learner with a cash transfer enrollment form, we will use that form. We will use that during the payment. So when we come to the payment, you will come with your cash transfer enrollment form. We call it a CTEF. And then once you get your money, you surrender that CTEF as an accountability document.
Right, very important there. Now, David, let me come to you. Let's look at it from a donor perspective. So what makes the validation step really critical before dispersing the Girls Education South Sudan cash transfers?
The validation is a critical step to ensure that we, all beneficiaries that are entitled to this cash transfer, receive the payment. But if I may step back a little bit.
Yes, sure.
The importance of the program started many, many years ago, where it was identified that for every boy in school in South Sudan, for every girl in South Sudan, there were 3 boys. So there was an imbalance in education. So we started this program, we started paying cash transfers in 2014. We've partnered with the government of the Republic of South Sudan since then. We've partnered with Mott MacDonald since then, state anchors.
Yeah.
And now, in primary school, we have parity. That means for one boy, there is one girl. Secondary school, there is one boy, there is one girl. So the program has been instrumental in achieving equity. So for us, the validation is an important step after enrollment to make sure that eligible beneficiaries are being paid.
Honorable, let me come to you. How do schools and education officers participate effectively in the validation process that we're talking about now?
Thank you, Emmanuel. The validation process is an inclusive process. And the county education department, starting all the way from the PAYAM, supervise the process. So they really participate in this process to ensure that there are no flaws, there are no gaps here and there. So it is a participatory process.
Right. And what safeguards are in place, really, to prevent errors or, let's say, manipulation during the validation?
Yeah, there are robust reporting mechanisms in place, which the public as well as the learners are made aware about. If there are issues with regard to attempts to subvert the process, they have the hotline to report to. Mm-hmm. They can equally escalate their grievances through the PAYAM Education Department, as well as the county, and even to the state, and if need be, to the national government, that the ministry. We are comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So it is a process that is seamless, and all the actors or the key stakeholders are involved in it.
Right. I want you also, Daniel, to say something about that, especially girls. And maybe if you've been reporting about there is manipulation or, let's say, misappropriation, how do you ensure that this process is generally effective?
That's a very good question, and I think it's important, and I think, as the Honorable, the Undersecretary had said, the entire process from the beginning, one of the success factors of Girls Education in South Sudan is the strong cooperation with the government. When we start the year, for instance, the Honorable, even when we start onboarding, there is a letter which explains very clearly on the process that needs to be followed, and that letter goes to the states, and it goes all the way to the schools. You would go every school, you find that they have the letter giving guidelines, and this is enforced by the state Ministry of Education, working with the county education director, going down to the PAYAM education supervisor. The ecosystem of Girls Education in South Sudan, we also have what you talk about, our partners, the state hangars. State hangars work very closely with the state at the state level and the county to the Bayam level in terms of working together and the supervising schools and supporting schools. So you would find that even our activities, you would find our school officer working very, very closely with the Bayam Education Supervisor, who provide oversight on activities of the school. Now, that is meant to help in terms of having a quality data. And I think one of the things, Emmanuel, this morning we really need to emphasize is the need why that's necessary, not only for the cash transfers. Sometimes people see when you are doing this program and say, it's money coming to us. And we need other people who are not even learners to be able to benefit. There's always that element of an attempt. Not everywhere. We have cases where there is push to manipulate data, bring either learners who are from the lower classes to come to the upper to the classes with their notes so that they can benefit to get cash transfers. And I want to pause here and say, you know, it's not about even the issue of the money. As a school, school act as the foundation in terms of instilling good values to our children. You can imagine if you went and picked a learner who is in primary 5 and tell them, now come today, you want to be in primary 7 so that you can get a cash transfer. What are you telling this learner? You are telling them, you know, it's okay in life to cheat. So schools cannot act. And I know that we have teachers who have ethical values and all, but you just have those who look at the money and they forget on the purpose why we have that school. In downtown, the school is to instill values. So tomorrow we will come and start saying, ah, you know, we are fighting corruption and all that. But this is being trained in school. So this is part of why, for example, we are here to just encourage those teachers who stand for the values of integrity. That's the way to go. But also discourage from this element of trying to cheat the system, looking at a very short term and a temporary gain, but ruining the life of this learner by starting introducing them to devices which will not help them in the society. So we have a system. One other thing which I need to add. When we started, we used to use paper. The papers, you know, you go to school, you enroll, everything, you know. But, you know, we have moved to the digital age. And also the program has also been evolving over time. We have moved from printing people's admission registers. Now, even yourself, you can go. We have an application. You go for the Ministry of Education. It's an application where all the details of the learners would be there if you have that access. So, and also within that system, the learner also sends attendance reports, which comes to our system when they are in school, attendance system. Even the way we are going to do validation, we are still going to use our phones to do validation. So even the paper portion is well now limited within that. That also not only helps in boosting the data integrity, but also the quality of the data and making the system all end-to-end shorter, so that once the learner has been validated in school and you have a connection, or you go back to where there is connection and you synchronize, that data we get it here in Juba almost at the same time, once it's been synchronized.
Right, and Honorable, let me bring you in a little bit here, where he talked about the issue of manipulation and errors, and he mentioned teachers. But also looking at it from another perspective, you look at the teachers, they are seeing cash, and maybe they will take advantage of the situation because of their welfare. And you know the issue of salary, we've been talking about it for almost every day, especially the caller. So what would you say in that regard, as the Undersecretary of the Ministry?
I think, thank you, Emmanuel, for this question. The most important thing here is that all the stakeholders are sensitized about their responsibilities when it comes to the implementation of this program. So even if one has not been, I understand the situation on the ground, but then they have a responsibility to ensure that the resources are basically given to the eligible learners who are in dire need of these resources. So they are properly sensitized, and definitely they would not be they will not participate in any misappropriation.
And let's hope that is the truth and that is the reality. Now, David, let me come to you. And how does the British Embassy really ensure accountability and transparency, especially in partnership with local education stakeholders?
Thank you. Well, we regularly visit the project in the field. Mm-hmm. We work with MOT, we work with the government very closely. Mm-hmm. And we receive regular reporting. So as part of that reporting process, we go and check the truth of it. Mm-hmm. We speak to teachers. We speak to what Daniel referred to earlier as state anchors. Mm-hmm. We speak to the beneficiaries. So last week, for example, we visited schools in Juba. We met some of the girls. We met some of the head teachers. We met the boys who have benefited through what we call capitation grants, which are methods of like enhancing construction, building toilets, providing facilities. Mm. So we very much work in partnership with the government. We work in partnership with MOT. I meet with the Honourable. I meet with Daniel regularly. And we have conversations. And if there are problems in the programme, as you mentioned, if there are issues where we think things are being misappropriated, we have also strict consequences for those. So in those instances, schools can be disqualified and investigations conducted. But our primary objective is to make sure that the girls and children with disabilities that are eligible for these transfers receive them.
All right. And Daniel, now, how do you handle cases where a learner's eligibility, for instance, might be disputed or, let's say, unclear? What do you do? What does the program do in that regard?
That's a very good question, mm-hmm. because actually that's why we do that validation. Mm-hmm. We go to school. You can get a learner mm-hmm. who is in school, but for instance, it's not enrolled mm-hmm. or onboarded in the system, but it's in school. Mm-hmm. So there's many other ways we validate that learner. If the learner was in school, we check that you will see that he's in school. You look at if the learner will be having notes, she might have notes on what's been studying. We ask for examination results. If you have been in school, you sat for like now first term ended, they start results. And that's part of what mechanisms. Like I've just come and a number of us from the field, all 10 states and 3 administrative areas, to check what is happening. And I think the way, for instance, David said, even as we are starting validation, and also with the help of the ministry, there's a letter which went out and said, if a school is cheating in any way, that school will be left out because we don't condone any form of cheating. And for the reasons which we have said, beyond protecting the integrity of the program, we also need to be able to instill good values. Education, this is the one which sets the tempo on where the country will reach. And that, we also want to thank the government, is very strong on that, in terms of that's not going to happen. But when we validate, there's all those mechanisms to check to ensure that, one, we don't want to bring someone outside who are not supposed to be. For instance, actually, we are right now doing almost something called prevalidation, because we could see some areas where schools are trying to bring maybe learners from the lower classes. What they don't know, with this innovation of data, every learner has a unique ID. And because of that unique ID, we run the system and see this learner actually last year was in primary 5. It can't be 7 now, honestly. So you look at it and say, it can't be. So we are going that bit of cleaning, and schools need to be aware. And if there's a school which is trying to cheat, all of us, the stakeholders, you have heard from our donors, what they're saying, you have heard from the government, we have zero tolerance. So let not a teacher try to cheat for 2 to advantage the entire school. That's what we are trying also to pass along, that we are not going to compromise on these values because it's critical not only for the program but also for the values.
How is the government ensuring that the zero tolerance is actually respected, especially from the government side, in looking at the teachers who are actually being enrolled by the government, Undersecretary?
Our commitment to zero tolerance is key because, like I said earlier, it is a responsibility on the teachers, the PIAM education supervisors, the county education department, all the way to the state and us at the national level. It is a responsibility, right, to ensure that this project is implemented in the way that is intended to benefit the eligible learners. There is no any other way around that. So if one choose to do things differently, mm-hmm. definitely there are clear procedures and the law will take its course.
Right. That brings us to about 20 minutes to the top of the hour. It's now time to pick few calls on 0911 or 229-86986, or preferably send a text to 13-986-986. بنتكلم في موضوع بتاع الجزء من عملية بتاع التحويل النقدي لتعليم بتاع الفتيات. طبعا من سنة 2014 ساهم التحويلات النقدية لبرنامج تعليم الفتيات في جنوب السودان اللي بيجي من الدعم من المملكة المتحدة أو البريطانية لمعالجة بتاع العواقب الاقتصادية والاجتماعية اللي بتمنع البنات من الالتحاق بالمدرسة والتعلم زي الفقر والزواج المبكر والقصر. عندك أي سؤال لضيوفنا في الاستوديو لوزارة التعليم للبريتش امباسي في جوبا وكمان Girls Education South Sudan ديل وكيت I radio.
Yeah, good morning, Joseph Akele.
Yes, good morning to you.
Yeah, this is me, Tolpok.
Yes, Tolpok, welcome.
Solve it, I solve it, but this is here. Al-Furjogi, Al-Nazel, Ba'amulo, Hel fi Jiba, Ola fi Ashara Wilayat, Zaitalata Hidari, Al-Furjaga, Guide Fogu, Lo fi Inak, Al-Nazel Garden, Fili Al-Kawanti, لأنه في بقانت ما عندي شواري نظيف زمن خريف لزول عام رفض من القوات بتاعه للولاية بمشي يا تطريقة ويلا الكورنيتر لزول ده يعني عكس من تطريقة بتاع شاري ممكن يعني تكثر معه ولا لا.
You talked about 10 states and the 3 administrative areas, but also a challenge that I would maybe want you to reflect on the issue. If you talked about the issue of infrastructure, so how do you ensure that you reach? Oh, you talk about the 10 states, yes, but then you have counties, you have Payams, you have Boma. So how do you go deep down there with the challenges of infrastructure? So this is part of his question that would maybe you can comment on that, Daniel, before the government can say something.
Thank you so much. As we said, we have what we say, state anchors. Mm-hmm. And as I sit here, I will tell you that we are in all over 81 counties and all the Payams in this country and all schools. Like now we have this year over 7,000 schools. Mm-hmm. So we reach every school because of that structure which we have, mm-hmm. the partners who work with us to ensure, and even the staff we have, so that we have at least at every county, there's a staff working there. Mm-hmm. That has helped us to be able to be in every school possible
right.
in this country.
Right. And the Secretary, let me come to you. In what ways does now the zero tolerance policy toward misreporting or actually falsification get enforced?
Thank you once again, Emmanuel. Like I said earlier, you know, we have presence of the government at all levels, all the way from the Payam, to the county and the state, depending if the it depends on the level of responsibility here. If the people bound to be involved in some sort of misappropriation are at a certain level, mm-hmm. then a matter can be handled at a level higher than where this issue has been reported. If it is at the school level, the teachers will get involved. The Payam education supervisors will definitely enforce, you know, the rules. If it is targeting the people who are supposed to supervise at another level, like the Payam, the county will come in. Mm. If it is the county, then the state will come in. So things are escalated based on the levels of government.
Right. Let's continue to pick calls. But before that, we have a question here from Santini John. He's saying, how much have you contributed to this program as the government so far? And the donors, do you think this program, for how long do you think this program will continue? And is it really bearing fruits on the ground? Or do you see the results on the ground? So let me come to you. Yes, UK Embassy. Andrew.
If I may answer the first question on the value of the contribution. So I think the value of the contribution is really measured in the fact that not only have we reached over 1.4 million individual girls in South Sudan, the government and the UK and our partners, Canada and the EU, have contributed to a programme that's worth over £100 million currently. That's over 12 years. But it's not measured in pounds. It's measured in the things that I spoke about earlier. It's measured in a young girl having the access to go to school. It's measured in a young girl being able to finish her schooling, have a career, become a teacher, become an engineer, become a doctor. Whereas those opportunities may have been less available in the past. So actually, our partnership with Mott MacDonald and the government of the Republic of South Sudan is worth much more than the value that we're talking about, actually. If you think about the opportunities for those young women in the future, for their children, I think the opportunities to lift South Sudan into a place where it can really achieve the great things that it's capable of, I think that's where the value is.
All right. Yes, yeah, talking about the contribution of the government, Undersecretary.
Yeah, thank you. In terms of the contribution of the government to this program, one is that, you know, the government contributes, it come in, government's contribution come in terms of capitation grant to the primary schools, which is our responsibility. Although there have been challenges in here and there, but that's our major contribution. But again, the government has it is the responsibility of the government to mobilize resources, and the government has signed compact with the donors, you know, as part of the resource mobilization. So even this contribution that has come in is through a strong partnership with the donor community.
Alright, بيجبنا لـ 13 دقيقة لرأس الساعة الوقت نواصل ونرفع المكالمات على 0911 أو 22 986 986, وهذا بيجيبك في استديوهاتنا. طبعا في السنة الفات الأولاد برضو ذوي الإعاقة في الفصول المؤهلة إلى تحويلات نقدية برضو هم يتحصلوا على دعم نقدي في موضوع بتاع المبادرة. Now, someone might be wondering about especially let me come to Daniel about boys with special needs, so let's say with disabilities. For how long have you been supporting them, or this is the first of its kind?
Thank you so much. This is another good question. Even actually before we go to boys with disability, this girl education in South Sudan, we are at phase two, and the program also has continued to learn and evolve. One of the things we learned from the phase one of the program is that the learners with disabilities were not in school. Most of them were not in school. So when we started the second phase of the program, we also started with our partners, because we also do behavior change. There are programs which we run on radio to talk with the communities on the need of bringing learners with disability in school. These learners, we are using Washington Group of Christians when we are doing that onboarding, to what I said in terms of enrollment at the beginning. And then from there, and with the campaigns which we are doing, we are seeing the numbers of learners with disability increasing. But I must also say, most are still out there, because there's these beliefs that you're not supposed to do learners with disabilities. It's treated as an inability. There's some change, but that has been left behind. Within that, then we realized that the boys with disability are also vulnerable. So from last year, we also started including the boys with disability into the cash transfer programming. And that's what we need to continue to encourage, that if you have a learner with disability at home, you are doing that learner or that child a great disadvantage. We have seen many people with disabilities who are high achievers in life if you give them the opportunity. So you just also want to talk to the parent out there. If you have this learner, please take that learner to school. You can also use, if you call, there are many programs, and of course, with thanks with the government and the donors who are supporting that. So we started last year with the boys. We will continue this year still supporting boys. And if you get more, as we are getting data and the clear, there's already also discussion, so how can we be able to support many of them? They can only be supported if they are in school. Thank you.
And Casual Undersecretary, is there any government policy to ensure boys and girls with special needs or disabilities actually go to school?
Yeah, sure. We have a whole directorate that is in charge of that, the Directorate for Gender and Inclusive Education, which actually prioritize the groups with special needs. Yeah.
What do you think South Sudan can learn from UK experience, especially in terms of empowering pupils with special needs?
I mean, It's a great question, Emmanuel, and actually recently our perspective has changed. There is a legacy of Western governments trying to teach Africans what to do. That's not correct. I mean, we're not trying to teach anyone about any legacy. We're trying to work in partnership to achieve the best things. And our perspective has changed because that perspective did not work. And it was an incorrect action from the UK. So actually, the Honourable is my teammate. Play for the same side. Daniel is my teammate. And we're trying to achieve the same ambition. So I think as we continue to work together, I think great things can happen.
Now you add something? Yeah, all right. There's a question here on our Facebook from Wari Samai saying, "Good morning to you in the studio. And my question is going to the Minister of Education, and he's saying members of Parliament. Well, there's no member of Parliament here, but he's saying education is free for primary and secondary school. Why people are still paying fees?" Yes, and the secretary, the compulsory policy of compulsory and free education in the country.
That's true. Based on the directive from His Excellency the President, education is free and compulsory. So if there are people collecting fees, that is illegal. It's not supported by law. Yeah.
And what would you tell them, especially if it's illegal, what is the punishment to teachers? They want to hear from you.
Such issues, of course, if they have come to our attention, we'll take drastic measures. But of course, yeah, it's an information that is important, and we'll do further investigation if it is widespread.
Right. And I'm still talking about the validation as part of the girls' education cash transfer process in South Sudan. Now, let me ask you both this question for Kachole and also Daniel. Now, where can parents, guardian or members of the public report any misappropriation of funds or actually threats to safety, especially during both the validation processes?
Yeah, we earlier talked of the hotlines which have been provided. There's one for Zain and MTN.
Okay,
maybe you can share them with the public later, but they are here. Which is for those who, you know, would like to escalate their complaint or concern quickly. There are hotline provided. And that does not also stop them from using the available mechanism within the county, the PAYAM, and even the state. There are government institutions at all levels, but the hotlines are provided.
Right, yes. Daniel, you can even mention the hotlines.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, as Honorable said, there are mechanisms, but again, as he said, there is a hierarchy. You can get, we have seen before, and I must say, a few cases where you find maybe it's a county education director who's trying to collude with a school, so you order, but you find that they are involved, and that's why we give you an alternative. If you are not able to use the already structures which are there, you could be able to call us on Zain, which is 0917-647-891, and MTN on 0928-520-824, 0928-520-824. Such that you can also get this information to us when it's come, that hotline, then we will be able to address any concerns that may be there.
Right. There's also a concern here, or a question here from Batalistic Beta here on our Facebook is saying, good morning, Emmanuel, and your visitors in the studio. And he's saying, my question is directly to the team leader of Girls Education South Sudan. Why not all boys and girls to also be included in this Girls Education South Sudan? Do you think that we boys is trying to say, do you think we have sufficient money? So I guess it's supposed to be 25% for boys and then 75% to girls. Anyway, I appreciate that. What would you say in that?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think as David said at the beginning, when the program started, one of the key gaps which were existed, we had far more less girls than boys. Then when we start, you have this situation where you have in 10, when in a classroom of 10, you only have two girls. The list of 8 are boys. So then when you're trying to understand why, you realize that girls had heavy challenges. Mm-hmm. There's also social and cultural norms, early marriages, you know, child marriages, or you can say that, which were preventing them. So girls were more vulnerable. And so there was an intervention which is done to address that gap. Let me also jump and say, the program is not only about cash transfers. For instance, we do the capitation grants, which goes to the school. Last year, for instance, we spent a lot of money improving in secondary schools, infrastructure and all that, because as you know, we still have very few secondary schools in this country, which are leading that learners are dropping after primary 8, because there is no secondary schools to go. So we are also investing there in terms of supporting secondary schools, for example, such that even boys can be able to access. When the school environment is improved, it's both gender who benefit. So the boys are also benefiting. That's 25% or more they are actually getting. And then when apart from that, in terms of that support, and that's why also we are very intentional now with learners with disabilities.
Right.
Because they are also disadvantaged.
Right. We have about less than 2 minutes. I'll give you 30 seconds for your last message. Let me start with you.
I think my message is actually to our teachers. They are doing an excellent job, given the situations which we know in terms of salary drains and many more. But they are there. You'll see them there in school. One challenge is, let's try as much as possible to uphold integrity. They are doing a good job. If we continue protecting, if a learner is not in school, the program is meant for a learner who is in school and regularly attending. If you benefit the one who is not in school, you are undermining that principle.
Right. Yeah. Right, David.
I just want to thank the government of the Republic of South Sudan, because without the partnership that they've delivered with us over the last 10 years, as well as Mark McDonald, we wouldn't be able to reach the last mile, the most important beneficiaries, as you said earlier. So thank you, Honourable. Thank you, government.
Right, Honourable Mabil.
Thank you very much. I want to take this opportunity to also thank our the donors for this massive support, and our implementing partner for implementing this project objectively. My last message to our teachers is that we understand your situation, but the government is working hard to ensure that the teachers' living conditions are improved over time. And to our communities, education is a collective responsibility. They should get involved in ensuring that there is accountability in how this project is managed. So it is important they get the right information and do the necessary.
Right.
Thank you
very much, David Musisi, Deputy Team Leader, Essential Services, British Embassy, Juba. Daniel Gisaka, Team Leader of GES. Honorable Kachol Mabil, PIOC Undersecretary, Minister of General Education and Instruction. Thank you all for joining us on the Dawn today. Yes, with that, we have come to the end of the Dawn edition. Join us again tomorrow morning at the same time to get the latest on what's happening in South Sudan and beyond the borders. On behalf of the Dawn team, Paulina Athiei, Darlington Moses, and producer Barry Johnson, this has been Emmanuel Joseph Akeli. Do have a good day. Stay blessed. We meet again tomorrow.